The foot is a privilege.
It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
For Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Strap the captain's put Mitchell into all sorts of trouble. Great pressure, Collingwood. And they're away. Will Kelly's got his first kick. Runs to 50. First kick could be a goal. Yeah! You beauty!
Mason Gons been pretty quiet lately. That is a beautiful kick. And he's got some swagger.
Now, Hoskin Elliott kicking his first for the night. Collingwood doing a job on the Hawks at the moment.
Brody Myercheck directly in front. Goal number four coming up. It's all the Magpies.
Down towards Cox. Oh, big Will Kelly really went out fishing. I hope he hasn't hurt himself there. He's holding an arm.
Looks a lot of pain, doesn't he, Juddy?
Yeah, he does. He's holding that wrist. Looks a little bit limp.
Yeah, that's a real body blow, that.
He almost looks to be a bit more forearm than wrist, but he is in some real strife, boys.
And out the back, Hoskin Elliott's going to pop into his hands. He's going to kick the easiest of goals.
There it is. Collingwood do a big job on Hawthorn.
Didn't they just? 32 points as we welcome you to the Saturday Rub. Just an earlier start, earlier game. Both things that have just landed on my lap. I'm not sure why any of those things are happening. But we're here and very excited to be here as well. Justin Longmuir is going to join us. Jaron Geary is going to join us. We're also going to just have a look at Bill's quiz because it spluttered and stuttered last week.
Yes,
and
it's on.
We're not sure. No, it's not. But what? We're going to have a look. We're going to put it up on the hoist, Fat, and see if we can resuscitate this dying thing.
Shut up. Bron, I'll unless put you up on the hoist.
Unless you accept some help on this bill, it's gone.
No, it's a people's quiz. It's not yours. It's not yours, not yours, and not yours, old Daniel
Landry. I've been supportive of it, Bill.
Shut up.
But it comes a time when it needs a reassessment.
Well, you can all get stuffed.
McDonald's and Hard Yakka, of course, bring you the Saturday Rub. And nice to see everyone. Wayne, always great to see you on a Saturday.
Lovely to be here.
What's going on, Wayne?
Good to have the early start.
Now, Wayne, what's going on?
What do you mean?
You got what runners on? Yeah. You got ankle socks on.
You just come off James Packer's boat.
You got chinos on that are rolled up so we can see ankles.
Yeah, I'm going for new look.
You're a poser.
And I've been meaning to ask you for weeks.
Yeah, have a look at the Instagram now, Triple M Footy. You'll see Duck's new look.
What's that stuff they pump into your forehead?
Yeah,
Botox.
Are you a
BT?
I just want to ask you once. I'm not going to ask you once.
On my children, I have not done anything.
And he's got a lot of them, Bron.
That's all I need.
Because I'll give you a little tip, BT. Moisturiser.
Oh.
Give it a go.
No, someone said that to me this morning. Do I use moisturiser?
So way back in the 90s,
James
it wasn't real trendy.
It's for people that have
when
got
it wasn't
too much
real
time.
Trendy, I'd come off the ground and, you know, you'd been out there working hard in the sun and I'd come up and I'd put some stuff on. And Mick Martin used to say to me, Duck, what's that? And I'd say, moisturiser. He'd go, Moitnewinder. What do you use Moitnewinder for? I said, because later in life, your skin will look better.
You're an idiot. That's the only funny thing, by the way, you can do. Right, now tell us, why have you got white shoes on, ankle socks, and chinos rolled up? You're not 18 again,
Jess,
Duck.
Jess is trying a new look on me because she's a bit younger.
And Brian, what's wrong with you?
Why?
You've had a hairy. Now tell the people.
I've spent a good 2 hours in the chair this morning.
And how much did the haircut cost today?
It's getting up there. It's a little bit costly.
You told us it was $200.
$200? What the hell?
What do they do for that?
Brian. $200.
It's a pretty good place.
Well, wannabe.
Wannabe.
You get put up on the hoist.
You get a champagne? Champagne or a...
All sorts of people there.
Well, Brian.
Away you go.
You only get a little hairy and it costs you $200. Really $200.
Yeah, $200.
You must get a...
I'll tell you what, it does nothing for
you. Do you get a pedi and a medi for that?
Oh, Brian.
A little colour. A little grey rinse.
Head massage.
Mate, you're trying to be warm and fuzzy. We know that. And come across this warm, really nice guy.
He's definitely fuzzy.
On TV, look at him. He looks good. But it's not worth $200.
Actually, I've noticed the last couple of days, last night, in there for Channel 7. Mm. And he's going the knit with the collar.
Bill's got one on.
That's okay, Duck, you idiot.
All you guys that wear jeans with runners, you all think you're Seinfeld. Yeah. I mean, that went out with ABBA.
By the way, Duck, knits without a collar is not a great look.
Really? Well, it depends if you've got the build to... Probably not for you.
You're trying too hard, Duck. You are trying too hard to look young.
Fat. We all watched on last night with great interest.
Well played.
Well played by the Pies. by the way. Far too
very
good for the Hawks. They were
too,
great.
Too hard.
But we watched on for lots of reasons. But for those of us who have known the Kellys for a long time, we watched on because the youngest Will debuted and a beautiful running goal to start with.
Nice.
But what I loved the most about it, I flicked around the radio and then the TV, and I especially enjoyed the complete lack of respect that Ned got from everywhere. So he's on Triple M and he's copped a blasting.
Yep.
And
we gave it to him.
Deservedly so. Then I then get to halftime on Fox because I don't know what you blokes were doing, Bristol, but I was on the Fox halftime and there was John O'Brown.
Nice to be watching your own Netflix.
No, I was. I did watch us, but then for some reason I flicked over to them at halftime and John O'Brown gave him a couple of his best minutes.
Did he? What,
branded him cement head.
And you see the goings on with Chief when he played on Chief?
Yeah, the pinching of the Chief.
45 years of the day yesterday.
The Chief, he had enough, didn't he? He wanted to kill him.
Well, and good. So,
but I took a photo off the TV.
Oh, no.
Have a look how big his head is. It takes up the whole TV. They had him and...
Looks like a rock melon.
Mate, fair dinkum, Ned. What have you been on? You've been on my diet.
Will looks like his mum, and thank God for that. Because imagine if you're a young bloke and you look like Dad.
Well, Jakey... Well,
no, he doesn't.
Jakey's thrown to mum.
Throwing more to mum.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, but nice. And Isaac Quainer, very much enjoyed watching him run.
Very, very impressed. Why hasn't he been a regular player, BT? Because
not sure.
He looked so accomplished last night.
He played very nice. Fifth game, I reckon, last night.
And the first game. I'm not being smart here, Damien. No. How do you pronounce his name, please?
Atu Bosenavalungi.
Right, eh? It's actually, we did speak to his mum and his little sister last night, and that's not how it's pronounced, by the way.
We pronounce it.
That's how we pronounce it.
That's how Asava Ratigalia told us to pronounce it last night.
Well, we spoke to his mum, and she pronounced it, and it sounds nothing. Yeah. BT thought he nailed it last night, and he went with it a lot.
Speaking of BT and Channel 7, though, what is going on with Channel 7, BT, at the moment?
Mm.
What's going on? We know you're battling difficulties and you're doing an outstanding job as a station.
You should direct any questions you've got, direct them at Channel 7.
I might have to after what we're about to talk about, because we've known Bruce McAvaney, haven't we, Jim, for a long time. We've known him for,
the superstar.
As a nation, probably 35 years, I reckon. Mm. And he crosses the boundaries, the state borders. They're all locked off, but everyone in other states knows Bruce. I think we know his name by now, BT. We don't have to keep having referred to him as Bruce. And you and Bruce have got this beautiful chemistry going at the moment where you're referring to each other a lot.
Oh.
Yours, BT.
Thing, Bruce.
Good call, BT.
Continues, Bruce. We love it.
Hey, BT.
Here they go, Bruce.
You're completely overwhelmed here at the moment, aren't they?
They are, Bruce.
Amazing stuff, BT.
Bruce, there you go.
That's why he's been so busy, BT, but he's still not a man's body, is he?
No, he's not. A couple of staples, Bruce, and a bit of hemorrhoid cream will fix it.
Fair enough, BT. It always works.
It's very impressive indeed, Bruce. I know what we want, Bruce, and we don't want the ball up, do we?
No, we don't.
Bit of a hard nut. Comes from a tough area in Adelaide, but Bruce, I believe.
A lot of great people in Rosewater, but you've got to be tough there, BT.
I think you were from that way early on, Bruce, were you not?
Oh, just far enough out, I had a tough mother.
Oh, beautiful chemistry. That's good
that
chemistry.
That was all from last night, Brian.
BT?
You can talk.
Look at Bristol.
I can't believe the ignorance in not knowing why. I can't believe you could sit there and ask that question and not have the obvious answer.
We know he's in Adelaide. We know he's in Adelaide.
Well, how do you think you communicate?
It was a love off.
So just think about it. Just think about it. You're calling the game of footy. You haven't got his attention because you can't see him and he can't see you.
Yep.
So you use his name to get his attention that it's his turn.
Yep.
Chemistry. So that's probably what we're
chemistry.
Doing.
It's nice chemistry.
It's nice chemistry.
I like it.
We raised it as a positive.
I know you know nothing about it and you don't get it. But
the only time, BT, that were more references to a Brian in a broadcast media sense in the last 30 years ago was more than this occasion 30 years ago when you were hosting the Good Sports Radio Show.
No, don't go there.
And you took a talkback caller by the name of yours.
Brian of Epping. Brian, bad luck, Brian. You're on your way to work too, Brian, I suppose.
That's right, Brian.
Good on you, Brian. Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian.
It's a Brian off.
Brian. And Brian, why do you keep saying a parfit?
Well, it's his name, Bill, isn't it?
It's parfit.
if you go slower, it's the same.
But every time it parfit.
What's that?
Drives everyone mad.
Also, Brust.
Brust, yeah, Brust.
Well, that's how you pronounce it, isn't it?
No, Brust.
Well, you can say Brust if you want.
No. I love it, Bristol.
$200 haircut.
And Jim, just on Channel 7 matters, I have had on good authority, you're having trouble getting through security where you're broadcasting these days.
Very regularly.
I would have thought that they'd know you by now.
No. I would too.
Oh, Jim, how do you go with this, Jim?
I get there and I say to the bloke, but everyone, as Brian knows and Duck knows, everyone attached to the broadcast is on the sheet. Don't they?
Yeah.
So floor staff, makeup people, everyone attached to putting the broadcast to wear are on the match day sheet to go into this area, and they need to be very careful to make sure that everyone's properly distanced. And I get all that, people.
Yeah.
I just would have thought one time when you turn up, they'd know that you're actually going to be there.
You don't like it when people don't know you, Jim.
No, I've seen that before. I just see the list of 70 people, and you reckon you'd get on there once?
I had trouble getting. They wouldn't open the door for me initially.
They don't want us in there.
And she's looking at me, going, I don't know whether I should let you. You can be Johnny off the street. Isn't that struggling?
Isn't that weird? Because I'm probably more friendly than you two. I just walk straight in.
More friendly.
Yeah.
I just smile.
More personable.
He's warmer.
And a bit of warmth. Yeah. And just
Brian.
You know, and I just don't seem to have a problem.
Go on, now say I'm getting warmer, Bill.
Well, with a haircut, you're looking warmer and fuzzy. Don't worry about that. Hey, by the way, Geelong's open.
Oh, look at you.
Geelong's open. Hey, I'm just
saying.
Have
some empathy for pub owners in Melbourne. Don't get smug.
Guess what I did this morning? I walked down and had a coffee in my coffee shop and just sat there and had some toast and eggs and bacon. Went across to the pub, which will be open by now. I just would open 11 minutes ago. You can go in there, sit down, have a meal, have a bet. And then you can walk the streets and a beautiful non-virus Geelong is open.
It's not non-virus, Bill. There's been some hot hits there lately. And I think,
you know why?
There's coming a press conference at the moment. It may actually just don't speak.
Oh, look, don't get too smug.
Brian, with a bit of news.
Well, about time. But unlike here where everything's closed down, I've got to go through a police border. On the way back at Little River, there's actually a point stop or whatever you call it.
How long is that going to be there for? That's just overkill, isn't it?
We don't want viruses coming down from Melbourne.
But how long?
Security guards.
How long is that going to be there?
I get it, because if you're in a town like Geelong or Lawn or Port Ferry or wherever you're going down that
they
way.
They don't want Melbourne people
there,
Jim.
You don't want Melbourne people there. And I get it. You don't want them infecting locals.
You don't want Melbourne people with the virus there.
No, that's right.
So if you've had the test and you haven't got a fever and you're not sick.
But most people haven't had the test, Doc.
Surely.
All I know is this. You know, remember the Gold Coast, you and I went up there, Fat, and we sat in that machine which had huge lucky bands either side and we got jettisoned up into the air?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
We literally threw us miles up into the air. That was terrifying because then you wondered if you were going to die. And then we got down to the bottom and thank Christ for that. And the girl said, no, you have to do it again. We didn't hit record.
Did not. 100%. We had to go up again.
We had to go again.
Yes.
So can we prepare one of them somewhere near a border to this state?
For what?
Place our premier in it.
Oh, Jim.
And then, careful, Jim. Just land him. I don't care where it is. Just out of our joint. And start again.
I can't see how you can blame him. Everyone blames him.
100% blaming him.
What's he done wrong?
Well, for a start, we had the most ridiculously restrictive restrictions of any place in the world.
It didn't work.
Well, it was no point ever. Okay, if everyone actually stuck to what they're supposed to do.
Bill, do you know the inquiry they've set up? Guess who's exempt from giving evidence in the inquiry?
Who?
Ministers. Yeah. So bureaucrats can give evidence, but ministers are exempt.
It's so easy to blame.
Yes, it is. And that's why we're doing it.
And BT, that press conference to which you refer has just revealed now that there are now 216 new cases of COVID-19 overnight.
So it's come down.
What about Geelong? No, it's 108.
It's 288 last
night. 288.
Come down.
Geelong still open?
If you had to shut your pub again and therefore that smug, stupid look on your face had to change.
Cremorne's just opened 13 minutes ago. You can go in there, have a beer, have a bet. Caulfield today. Oh, I might have a little. Oh, sit around, mate. Have a beer with old mate here. Can't do that in Melbourne.
Oh, my God. Seriously, finish up.
Can't do that.
Finish up the night, Dan. I reckon. Just clean your desk out and wander off and we'll get someone else in and we'll have another go at this.
Well, who are you going to get in?
I don't know. Or care.
Have you seen
when you get to a point where you've just got to put your hand up and go, look, I've had enough.
No, I can't see why you can so easily blame him. It's easy to blame. And I knew you would, Brian.
Why?
Because he's trying to lead and people aren't doing the right thing. So it's not his fault.
There's a little bit of that, but there's a lot more of the other.
Wander off.
Well, he gets a security company. How does he know he's got one of the great shaggers in there? Like, it'd be...
Not only that, Bill, you come down and go, excuse me, sir, can I go to 7-Eleven? Oh, yeah, God. I want to go and get some Chinese. Yeah, yeah, book yourself in over the Chinese restaurant there.
They're not obeying what they've been told to do.
Finish up tonight, Jim.
Wander off. Just acknowledge it. Clean the desk up and wander off.
Keys on the fridge.
I'll just finish up. For me, there comes a time when you've just got to... A man's got to know his limitations.
Hello,
as
Bruce.
The great Clint Eastwood said.
Hey, g'day, Brian.
Hey, Brian, g'day, Bruce.
Brian, Brian, BT.
Bruce.
Hey, BT. Good call, BT.
I like it. Now, we got some news. We've got to put the quiz up on the hoist. Justin Longmuir, Jaron Geary ahead of Freo and St Kilda on the Gold Coast for Hard Yakka and for McDonald's. Triple M, Roxford.
The Triple M Footy Saturday Rub for Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
For McDonald's.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Saturday afternoon, and we're getting ready for Freo and St Kilda for Hard Yakka. Of course, a history of hard, and McDonald's never miss a goal with McDelivery available via the Uber Eats app. A bit of news, lots of news, in fact, around last night as well as just the comp in general, Purple. Will Kelly, we talked about, nice goal on the run early, but then injured late in the game. Yeah. What's the latest on that?
The latest is that we're yet to get the diagnosis from the Collingwood Footy Club, but it just looked nasty, didn't it, the way he did land on that wrist and that impact on the arm. But we'll get something from Collingwood at some stage of today. John Patton went down too, which you also called, BT, and there was some initial fears, wasn't it, given the tears in his eyes or the emotion he was displaying, that it might have been another knee, but it was a hamstring, and that is a setback for him given the situation that he's had. But we're now about to, after next weekend, so round 7, Duck, is already scheduled. That will stay as fixtured. But beyond that point, there's going to be a jamming of matches into the schedule. We're now seeing premiership coaches and a grand final coach in Nathan Buckley now mounting a strong campaign to have the AFL increase the number of interchange players. It started with Hardwick yesterday, Richmond coach. And then post-match last night, Alistair Clarkson followed the Hardwick lead, and then Nathan Buckley did as well, about the need in their eyes to help clubs get through this condensed fixturing with extra players.
One thing I probably would like to see is probably an extended bench so we can, you know, manufacture some game minutes of those players, because the big one for me is you want the stars playing everywhere. So for mine, I'd look at the extended bench, but, you know, smarter men than me will figure that out. The fact of the matter is we've got limited rotations. We're limited to 90. So, look, whether it's 6 on the bench, 8 on the bench, I'm not too sure. But the game should always be relatively even. We don't want to be losing games of footy, especially if we've got players up here sitting idle, where we could sit there and have a number of players on the bench. You know, once again, let's keep it as even as possible.
There's a couple of things for mine. It just gives you more opportunity to have your quality players on the ground. But in a compressed season and a significantly disjointed season in terms of how this is all going to unfold, at least if you got more interchange, you might have been able to debut some more players, give some younger players an opportunity. There's no official reserve grade competition now, so it does give you an opportunity to be able to blood some young players, because the future of the game is really, really important for all clubs and the league. So if we had a couple extra spots, that would be great to blood some youngsters.
I think the 23rd and 24th player makes sense, and not as subs. I actually like them as players that you could rotate for different reasons. Like, it's a little bit more like an EPL manager type setup where you can actually manage your better players and potentially have them playing more consistently off shorter breaks. I think that's something that the AFL have considered and discussed, and I think if they implemented that, it would be wise.
Nathan Buckley, the last voice there. Prior to that, Alistair Clarkson, Damien Hardwick. Duck, there's going to be an initial reluctance from the AFL to allow this to happen.
There's a lot of points that I've taken out of that. Now, clearly, they're all on the same page, which is great. Mm. And they want players. There are a lot of players that aren't getting minutes that are sitting up there idle, so it's game time. But for them to say the better players on the ground longer, well, that's rubbish, because they're going to want to get them on and off. They want higher rotation. So players are going to be coming on and off more. The quarters are already shorter. Yeah, you want more rotations. So I guess the question that they're raising, Bill, like, their best players aren't going to be on. They're actually going to be,
take them.
I would argue, they'd actually be off more. Hmm. So more rotations. Yes, the point giving players an opportunity to play some game, but the argument of, oh, we want our quality players on the ground longer and all of that, that's rhubarb. It would be the opposite of that.
I would say to you or anyone, Were you happy with the quality of the game last night?
For one team,
I was for
Collingwood.
Pretty ordinary. I mean,
no, I thought Collingwood played really well.
Yeah, yeah. But one team kicked two goals in three quarters of footy.
One team was putrid. The other one was really good.
It's not great, and we've seen a fair bit of that this year. And over the years, I would say, do not go to the coaches and ask them how the game should be played and how it should be adjudicated and how the rules should be drawn up. They have other interests than what we do as spectators. And so therefore, they're not good ones to design rules around. Yes, that's what they want. They want to keep their players busy. And for all the reasons all of those coaches gave, they are good coach reasons. They are not good reasons for us who have got to consume and watch the footy. By putting more on the interchange, I've never heard anything so ridiculous. The quarters are already short. We don't need to be seeing players that don't deserve to get a game of footy.
Also, I'll tell you what was interesting. Thursday night, Narkel and Duncan off in the first 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you get Dangerfield, you get Selwood, you get Ablett, Parfitt, out in the ground for longer.
For longer, yeah.
And guess what? They're out there and they play really good games. Geelong win.
Yeah.
So, it backfires on what they're trying to say here, the coach.
Alistair Clarkson, and I didn't hear the other two specifically, but Alistair Clarkson, Bill, to your point about players going down with soft tissue early in the game, he's suggesting this mechanism to combat that. But I'm with you, BT and Dark and Bill, because the AFL has set up a set of rules this year to get them through. Now, they still feel, as we speak, that those reductions of quarters to 16 minutes in time on will be enough.
Not just the reduction of quarters, Damo, the extra time in the ad break, so they're getting extra 15 seconds, the extra time during the quarters, which they're not even using. They're standing in position for 2 minutes before.
Still haven't worked that out, Brian.
Still haven't worked out. That's 2, 4, that's 6 minutes per game that they're just wasting and throwing out the window. They don't want to use it.
And Stephen Hawking, who's head of AFL football at the AFL, is not one to knee-jerk. Now, again, he will listen to those voices, and he needs to in his role, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
And he needs to then come up and formalise a formal plan to before it goes back to the commission. But I would still be surprised, despite those three names being as big as there are in the game, I'd be surprised if they did change.
Do we address the elephant in the room? Well, because we know it's a sore point for Brian.
Hey, Brian.
But there's a few elephants in this room.
If we get keep getting 200-plus people testing positive every day, Bristol, we're going to have to acknowledge at some stage that the grand final may have to go somewhere else.
All right. And we want, if it's not the MCG, okay, one word, where is it played?
Optus Stadium.
Well, listen.
No, if it's not, right, Brian?
No, just hang on.
Adelaide or Perth.
You're pretty strong on this, BT.
You're really jumping the gun.
You're pretty strong.
Just let me speak, Bill.
Well, speak here.
We've got 6 weeks. We've got 3.5 months before the grand final's going to be played, right?
Yeah.
We're a six-week lockdown.
How many people are
You've already seen how quickly crowds can come back in Perth. Bang.
Let's
just wait. There is no reason to make a commitment now. Let's wait for the 4 weeks at least, see what it's doing. And if it is looking good...
It's 6 weeks, Byron.
But we can just wait 4 weeks before we have to make a decision. Wait the full six if you want. We don't have to make a decision now. Why do we have to make a decision now?
You said this wasn't a story, Brian.
It's going to be a story.
You said this wasn't a story 2 weeks ago.
BT's point, I'm backing you up here, BT's point is quite simplistic, and that is, why are we talking about it now when the decision, we've got to wait because we're not going to know where we are in 2 weeks.
I'll tell you why we are.
We've been talking about it for 2 weeks.
Because it suits the journos having to scroll out words and...
Yeah.
But so you said it wasn't even a story. Now you're conceding that it's not a guarantee. You said it wasn't a story.
It is not a story yet
because
we don't need to make a decision. We do not need to make a decision now.
When are we going to make a decision?
In 6 weeks' time.
Well, you tell us when it's a story.
When we can see what's happening in Victoria.
If it's not the MCG, just for fun, for the radio, and we might get a headline. If it's not the MCG, give me one place where it should be.
Well, Sydney makes sense because it's close to Victoria.
No, it's got to be Adelaide.
Footy state. It's got to be a footy state.
Adelaide or Perth.
Yeah,
I'm Perth. I would love Perth's a magnificent stadium, and they are advanced of everyone else in their dealing with this debacle. So they can have a full house, and if it can't be played at the G, I would love that. ANZ stadium's a dump. I can't stand that.
Exactly. The only problem with Perth, and I'd like it to be there. But their premier was a smart aleck.
All right.
You'd like to say,
so why not Adelaide, premier is it, by the way?
Oh, Adelaide's very good too.
Adelaide or Perth.
So, Tim, you reckon it should go to a footy heartland?
I would prefer
regardless
it.
Regardless of team.
Yeah. Footy state. Yeah. A footy state. What do you think, Jerno?
No, to me, the priority and the prerequisite for the making the decision has to be a crowd of substance there.
Right.
So if Victoria can't provide that...
Just give me a state, please.
Well, I'll go with Perth as well. I think Optus Stadium was a football...
Perth.
I'm going to go Adelaide.
Brian?
Time frames in Perth aren't good for commercial TV on the eastern side of Australia.
Adelaide.
So what are you saying, Adelaide then?
Well, I'm saying New South Wales.
I don't mind it, Bristol, because you can come into prime time.
You're
playing Perth in the after twilight is prime time into the eastern.
What about
Seaboard?
The people that are going over there? They're going to have to get there at bloody 10 o'clock in the morning.
Damo?
That's a problem.
He's changed. He's actually saying a state other than the MCG.
Well, people might be able to travel there. It might be just people within their own state.
Well, 80,000 at Homebush. And I know we're not playing any footy there, and that's been raised several times by different... But 80,000 people at Homebush, you know, by that stage, Victorians should be able to travel and cross the border. It's a lot easier for them to drive there than Perth.
Would you get 80,000 at Homebush?
I've got no idea.
Yeah, I reckon you would.
For a grand final, you would. But it is a toilet of a joint.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It wasn't always. I get that perception of it now, Jim, but it actually is unfairly viewed, I feel.
Well, that's because 30 years ago or 20 years ago, whenever it was the Olympics, it was a decent place.
It was.
But it's been run down since
then. And for maybe six or 7 years of AFL use after that. But to your point now, it's in a dilapidated state.
I never enjoyed one game I ever did.
I did go to the 2003 World Cup final there and enjoyed it.
Well, it's a rectangular venue, so it makes sense for soccer and rugby. Mm. It doesn't make sense for AFL football. Anyway, we're discussing all of this because we're the laughing stock of the country. Our state.
There's a lot of feedback
not
to your comments on
the We are the laughing stock of this country.
Damien's
not the state.
Man, Dan. He's
my man.
He's doing a great job.
Because you look like brothers.
Yeah. Oh, please.
You stand next to each other.
You ever say that?
Bill, I think you're brothers.
Yes, it's perfect match. Now, welcome the star of our show, Craig Evans.
Now, we have gone outside of our own bubble to try and work out what's wrong with the quiz.
There's nothing wrong.
It's terrible. Now, let's firstly welcome.
If it ain't broke. You don't have to.
We welcome to the show a man who ran a magnificent quiz show on television in this country for many, many years.
Strange sort of quiz show.
One of the very, very best in the business. Greg Evans joins us. Greg, welcome to Triple M Football.
G'day, James. Yeah, I tell you what, in one word, two words, what's wrong with the quiz? It's Billy Brownless.
And Greg,
still alive, Greg.
Just to underscore that point before we speak to this fine gentleman, have a listen, Greg, to the way our quiz has been run now for far too long.
Okay, welcome to the People's Quiz, Ben. How are you? Hey.
Oh, no. What sort of a start are we making?
Great to have the quiz back, Benny. Which one of the following players currently weighs the heaviest at 114? A, Jared Witts. K, B. Shut up, Morgan. Triple M's Nathan Brown described himself as the most influential player in the AFL. Broderick.
Oh, Broderick.
Oh, no, I think it's Broderick.
Broderick.
Where do we get Broderick from, Broderick?
My parents are at Phil.
Do you put the E in the middle or is it Broderick?
B-R-O-D-R-I-C.
Yes, there's no E, Bill.
Scenes in Ferntree Gully. Sean.
Sean.
Sean. Scene. He's called him Scene. Oh, no. What are we doing?
Oh, now. Oh.
What's the question, Bill?
Oh, no. Can we go to a break?
Now, Greg, shut up for a second.
That's theatre.
Greg, what would you suggest we do with the bloke that runs our quiz?
Billy, I tell you what, Billy, you are the quiz mastering what Dougie Hawkins is to elocution. They say, the man who asks the questions is king, but the man who has all the answers is God.
Yes.
So I reckon Duck and BT, I saw you on the telly last night with Bruce McAvaney. I reckon Bruce would probably be God. But what we've got to do is get we've got to get Billy up to king status, haven't we?
Oh, God. Good luck. Well, there's only one king in here. Yeah.
Bill.
Preparation. You wouldn't believe how much preparation. I do.
And inflections. Inflections is another one, Bill. You've got to work on inflections, you know, like...
I do work on inflections.
King, yeah?
Right.
Billy Brownless is king. Billy Brownless is king. Billy Brownless is king. It's all to do with the inflections, isn't it?
You're learning a bit of craft here, Fats.
Right. And theatre?
Whatever that means.
You've been to the theatre.
I tell you what, we did get some theatre boys when Wayne Carey was on Perfect Match. Do you remember, Doug?
I remember you, Greg, yes. And, I was very nervous given it was a big talk
network
show back
show.
Then. And I was asked to go on.
How old were you?
How did he go, Greg?
I think I was pretty young.
He went marvellously. He looked fantastic. And Duck's still the only show on television where the prizes used to speak. Did you get a I can't remember Wayne, did you get a good one?
I did happen to win the date.
Well, that's very good. And the other thing, the other thing that Wayne and I had was when Madame Tussauds came here and I got Wayne Carey done in wax. Do you remember that?
I do. Well, there's only one of us in this room that have ever been immortalised in wax.
That's right.
And there's only one person here that's ever waxed.
Yeah.
And do you know where your head is, Duck? Madame Tussauds only keep the heads. Your head is in a box.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Could be in London, could be in Sydney, but your head
is
in a box.
So you could be called Boxhead.
I remember Greg used to work at 3CS gym. Down at Cole. That's where he started. Finished.
Yeah. That's true. With Sandy Roberts. We both worked down there together.
He did. And nominated three times for the Gold Logie.
Yeah, thanks,
Bill.
How'd we go, Greggy? We didn't get any of those three, Bill.
Now, Greg, you are a star, of course. Great friends of John Sammy Newman. Do you still catch up with the old enforcer?
Yes, I certainly do. And, he's in a bit of hot water at the moment.
Yeah, we don't know where he's at just at the minute, Force. But let me ask you this. We all love him, of course. Let me ask you this. You're a marriage celebrant these days. Is that still happening?
Ooh, yeah, that's still happening, James. In fact, that's where I last saw Damien Barrett was at a wedding in Albert Park. Remember that one?
One of our good friends of this program, Adam Hamilton.
Yeah, that's Kerbs. Right, yeah. But I tell you what.
Which wedding was it?
He's only
Adams.
Nice. But and
he did a very good job, Jim.
No, he does a magnificent job.
I saw Greg do one in the Botanical Garden.
No, he's the best. And but you were based at, was it Bendigo or Shep? Or where were you, Greg, there for a while?
Oh, on radio in Shepparton. Yeah, yes. I did the breakfast program. But I did it from home. They were very good. They built a studio at home. And once you've worked from home, it's pretty hard to have to go back into a radio station. But I loved it. At 3SR in Shepparton. It was now Triple M, of course.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm prisoner one day, Greg.
Someone's been doing their research.
Well, that's what I do with a quiz. I've got some. Now, I'm going to ask some questions here, Greg, and you just have a listen to it and see how I'm going with my inflections. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and your prep, yes.
Question number one, welcome, Greg, to the show. How are you going?
I'm going really good, thank you, Bill. Nice of you to ask.
Still marriage... celebrant?
No!
Bill!
Righto. Yeah, first question.
Was that celebrant or celebrant or...
Celebrant.
Greg. Yes, Bill. No, still marrying people, but since COVID-19, it's dropped right off. There's nothing about.
Me and Jim might be knocking on the door soon. Who is currently the game's record holder for Fremantle Dockers, having played 353 games? Not bad. You like that, Greg?
That's pretty good. That was almost faultless. That was excellent.
Do you know who it is?
Me, I don't know.
Matthew Pavlich. One more. Name the Collingwood player currently... Yeah. Leading this year's Coleman medal with 12 goals after six rounds.
Oh, dear me, gee whiz.
Bill, you don't have to ask him like you're telling a fireside story.
No. This is how I'm reading it, because Greg's inflections inspired me, and I've got some inflections there. I hope you're noting, Greg.
Yes, sir. I thought his question asking has improved substantially since we've been talking. I just wish I could be better with the answers.
Did that show,
Hey, Greg, did that show go international, a perfect match?
No, it didn't.
What happened to Dexter?
Dexter. He's in a museum. He's in a museum in Fed Square.
He's not in a box like Duck said.
He's not in a box like Duck said. He's in a museum. That's where I should be. But it's Greg. That sound and television museum in Federation Square. He's got his own shrine.
Hey, Greg, I loved it, and I most loved when the couples came back after the date.
Oh, yeah.
And the body language would tell you instantly if it had been a success or a failure.
That's true. There were several glasses of water thrown on each other. That was a good part of the show. That's where we ask them how much fun they had and how many times they had it.
Yep, that's it. And it was just sometimes there was a cold front bristle that had moved right in. Between the two contestants. Hey, Greg, you're a bloody champ. Great chatting to you. Once people are back to getting married, how do they get hold of Melbourne's best marriage celebrant?
The best.
Yeah, that's lovely of you, James. Just Google me. Just Google and you'll find me and we can make it happen.
Perfect, mate. Mm. Great chatting to you.
Mm. Yeah, good luck, fellas. It's been lovely to talk to all of you too. See you later.
See you, Evo.
Very good man, Greg Evans. And Bill, a man who knows quiz mastery.
Yes, I know.
So did you take anything out of that?
Yeah, inflections, which I have worked on.
And preparation.
And I do a lot of
preparation. No, you don't.
I do. And have we got it on today, Luke, or not? It's the people's quiz. They asked for it. We delivered once, and you're taking it off us.
Well, unless you accept the advice of Greg Evans.
Yeah, that's it.
We've got no prizes. What's going on with Aaron and Talamade?
Bill, you need to look at the questions first, which you never do, so that you're halfway through reading them for the first time on air.
I'll tell you another important thing. Know the names.
That would help.
Yeah.
Those two things, Bill, would sort of help. And pace, Bill.
And a grasp of the English language occasionally.
I've met Greg a couple of times, JB. Unusual places, but I've met him a few times. He's a good fellow.
No, very nice.
Hospital.
Oh, look at Bill. Look at Bill thinking he's funny.
The Triple M Footy Saturday Rub for Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
From McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to have your company Saturday afternoon. Beautiful assembly of talent here. BT in nice form, so is Damo Duck. And Willis just learning from the great Greg Evans how to run a quiz.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Good on him.
I like all of that.
Good on him for coming on.
He was great.
No, he's a beauty. Hey, EPL fixture talk, Damo. Just explain to people what that means. Does that mean that we're dealing with a game basically every day over about a three-week period?
That's how it could look, Jim. We'll get some clarity for round eight early in the week upcoming, and then I reckon the next batch of matches beyond that point could be anywhere. And there's still a waiting, and you guys actually at Channel 7, the three of you, might have a greater line of sight on the acceptance and the preparedness of the 7 network to pitchfork matches into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday scheduling. Do you? Mm-hmm. Because that was one of the sticking points when they first mooted this possibility last week.
Any you know, line of sight on that,
Bristol? You speak to Lewis every half an hour.
I haven't spoken to anyone there for years.
Oh. Have a listen to him.
I do know that the, and I think it was mentioned in the papers during the week, what was the game? One particular game.
Dreamtime at the G.
Dreamtime at the G is going to be, I think, going to be played in Northern Territory. It does.
Oh, that'd be
good. I think even that, though, BT, while it was in play, has hit a bit of a roadblock, unless you can tell me it's got through that roadblock.
No, I don't. I don't know that it's got through the roadblock.
So, Damo, there's going to be some weird and wonderful times coming up. And you're saying that will start after round seven?
Yeah, round seven's next weekend. Yep. I believe the way they were talking, they'll announce a round eight, maybe inverted commas, as in the next game fixture, probably by Monday or Tuesday of this week. And then I think beyond then, it then just gets
So beyond then, we'll have games on a Monday or a Tuesday
potentially,
Wednesday?
Potentially.
So,
yeah.
Purple, it does then is, before Seven got their cricket rights and I had to bury myself into the BBL a little more, and it was on 10, it was just on every night over the summer. And you'd watch it, Bill.
Yep.
You had no idea which team was good and bad.
Yeah,
you had no idea where they were on the ladder.
Yeah.
But you just enjoyed watching it because it was bloody
product.
Good.
that's right.
Yeah, and, blood, and I reckon that's a bit of what we're going to experience with the AFL.
And even to your point about the cricket scheduling there, the disposability of the content was almost its key, wasn't it? You forgot what game you watched the previous night.
Just enjoyed watching it.
And the whole situation has been brought on by this lockdown in Victoria, which will go for a minimum of 6 weeks. Initially, BT, the players were told they'd be away for 32 days and 5 matches would be played inside that time frame. The time frame could be extended to 42, 44, and a whole lot more games could be crammed in so that when they get back to Melbourne, and they will get back to Melbourne, there may be as few as 3 or 4 or 5 games left.
It is a movable feast this season, and therefore everyone's got to be nimble, including the brand new coach of the Fremantle Dockers, Justin Longmuir, who joins us. Justin, nice to have your company.
G'day, guys.
Hey, well played last week for a start. We did that game. You got over the line, which was brilliant. And the joy that was attached to everyone at the organisation was clear to see. It was a great afternoon.
Yeah, it was. And you know, footy's a funny thing. We probably have played better footy in some of our losses than what we did last week. But to get the win was, it was reward for effort. I mean, our clubs had to go through a fair bit early in the season, and everyone's done it without whinging and got on to business. So yeah, it was a good reward for effort for the whole club.
Two things. How does the ground look where you're currently standing? And I believe there's a late change in your lineup.
Yeah, it's starting to get a bit chopped up, the ground, BT. There's probably seen more footy than what it has in the past. So it's only going to get worse. There's obviously been a little bit of rain up here as well, which is not going to help. Some of the wings are a little bit chopped up. And Brennan Cox, we thought he would get through training and come into the side, but he's just had a bit of a pulled up from training a little bit sore. So we've decided to give him another week, and D-Man comes in and replaces him. So we've got a little bit short down back, and we're going to have to defend well as a team to stop some of their tools down there.
Justin, I know that when the moment you walked into the club as coach, that it was a collective approach. But having said that, how satisfying was it for you last weekend to get that first W as coach?
Oh, it's a bit relieving more than anything. Not to have had a win after 4 games, it starts to mount up personally and as a football club. And I've seen a lot of signs, even in our losses, of the way we want to play. And I think our players never lost any belief on the way we want to play. And if we execute it, we'll get the result. But we just weren't able to execute it for 4 quarters. We had some horrible quarters where we just cough up, 4 or 5 goals in a row, and just weren't good enough for long enough. So we're still striving to achieve that at the moment. We definitely didn't put in a 4-quarter performance last week.
No, but the pleasing thing about last week, you were challenged at one point and could have easily, given what had happened previously, could have given up. So I thought it was fantastic. You come up against a side today in St Kilda playing some exciting footy. What are the challenges there? They play a really fast brand. They take the game on a little more than others are at the moment.
Yeah, you're spot on. They're moving it really quick. Definitely their one wood is their contest work is strong, but what they do off the contest with their ability to spit forward and start their chains really fast is something we're going to have to stop. And also their ball movement, it looks like they've got a rule that they don't like to keep the ball in their hands for more than 3 seconds. So they shifted around a fair bit. So we're going to have to be really good defensively, but we feel like if we defend really well, some opportunities will present for us offensively.
Well done on the win last week, Justin. Billy here, mate.
Thanks, Billy.
Hey, Nat Fife. Mate, 3 weeks is normally a hammy. In our day, when we did a hammy, it was 3 weeks, Juzzy, and you too.
2 days.
But he's back within, 2 weeks?
Yeah, they rehabbed probably a little bit better than what they did in your day, Billy.
yep.
It was a really, and usually we go off more of their clinical symptoms rather than the scan. And his clinical symptoms, cleared up within the first 3 or 4 days of doing that hammy, so he was always on track to miss 1 or 2 games. He's rehabbed really well and got back within 1 game. And physios tell me that this is quite normal. Mm. And I think it's quite normal in this part of the season as well. We're seeing a lot of low-grade hammy strains from a lot of different players, and they seem to be coming back from it within a week. So he's fully fit. He trained really well during the week, and we expect him to get through, no worries.
Hey, the young group starting to emerge, which is very exciting for the Fremantle Dockers. I'm talking about Sarong and Schultz and Sturt, and then
Brayshaw.
Wade was very good last week, yes. And not before time either, Justin, by the way. He was good last week, but it's been a while coming. And Chera as well. So from a coaching point of view, you'd be really happy with that group of young blokes.
Oh, absolutely. And so Tucker into the mix, who's playing a bit more on ball this year. Yeah, we're really excited with what we've got in the future, and it's just about giving them opportunity and making sure that they're earning their opportunities as well. And I think Jared played one of his best games of footy last week. Your nephew played his best game for a while, and you know, we need more players carrying the load. I mean, too much has been left to Fife and Walters to do in the past. So we're looking to try and build some depth, and it was great last week that they can contribute so much.
Jesse Hogan obviously played last week. Where's he at in terms of his fitness?
Yeah, it was really disappointing that he nicked his calf last week.
Yep.
So he's going to miss a couple of weeks with that calf. It probably just comes back to him, you know, not playing for so long. And he just works so hard on the field, and he's a great asset for our younger forwards in particular to watch, because his leading patterns are quite good, and his work rate to keep presenting at the kicker is, you know, a great role model for some of our young players like Sturdy and Schultz and Banfield and those types. So we'll rehab him and look to get him back as soon as we can.
And Justin, I know you've got more pressing concerns right now, but being able to go back to your home state, as you will as a result of the conclusion of this game, it must be satisfying to know you've got through that patch and now you've got some stability in your own rooms.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get home. I think we're the only club not to play in our home state this year, so it'll be nice to get home in our own beds and settle in for 6 or 7 weeks, hopefully. So, having said that, we've got business to do. It would be nice to leave with two wins rather than one. So just need to make sure we focus on doing the business today, and then we can focus on getting home after that.
Hey, as we let you go, the skill level is something we all focus on, and field kicking, Justin, is something that is often not as good as we as observers think it should be. David Mundy, you have, I think, one of the best handful of field kickers in the competition. He uses it beautifully. How can he do it so well and others battle?
Yeah, well, I think it always comes back to training habits. Our two best kicks are no doubt Barra and Michael Walters. And if you watch them train, they just train with real purpose and get the most out of each kick. So, yeah, we're trying to get everyone to train like that and everyone to kick like that, but it's not as easy as said.
Hey, good luck. Big game. We can't wait to watch the Fremantle Dockers go about it.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Kicked a goal after siren. Remember that?
Yeah.
Not many can do that.
Did Builder say? I can't remember if he spoke. This man's been good enough to jump on the line pre-match, which we absolutely love. Great access from the Saints. And Jaron Geary joins us from Metricon. Jaron, welcome to you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell us a bit about what you're doing, please, because you're at Noosa, which is a very nice place to be hubbing, of course.
RACV Club.
Very happy down there are the Saints. But how's the logistics of it all going?
Oh, it's going reasonably well. We're down in Noosa, which is clearly a little bit of a drive from Metricon Stadium or Brisbane. But it's been good down there. We've been able to train at Maroochydore, which is a fantastic facility, and spent a little bit of time back and forth on the bus, but just getting to know each other on there has been quite entertaining. So it's going well so far.
So how lengthy was the bus trip this morning then?
A couple of hours, 2.5 hours. So jumped on there about 8 o'clock and got here, a couple of hours before the game. So we're ready to go. So nice bus trip up.
Well, I like your messaging, but sitting on a bus for 2.5 hours, getting to know your teammates, I could think of other ways to get along. Where'd you say you're training, Maroochydore? What about your weight facilities? I heard Nathan Buckley speak last night there in Sydney, and he said they've been able to find things that are quite adequate. Do you find? Do you think you've found the same in Noosa?
Yeah, we have. We've hooked up with a CrossFit gym down here, so they've sort of blanketed out a couple of hours throughout each day for us to come and go, and cleaners to come in before and after us. So we've been well looked after down here. So it's not too far from the resort, which is on the bus straight there, back on the bus and straight back to the resort. But we're getting enough lifting in.
Yeah, well, 7 ounce and 10 ounce down at the surf club.
Oh, I know.
You can move. 7 ounce and 10.
You've got to get in. Professional athletes, fat. Oh,
but surely they're allowed to walk down Hastings Street and go to Aromas and sit there and have a coffee. Can you do that, or can you go into the surf club and apparently there's a good view over the surf there? Can you do that?
Not yet. Yes? Not yet, Bill. Not yet, Bill. A couple more weeks, we might be able to go and check out Hastings Street, which is obviously a beautiful part of Australia, but we're here to win a game today and then deal with that when the time comes.
Ask for Moggy when you go to the surf club. He's the manager. Yeah. Hey, now, where are we going to see you? Because, he's been playing down back and does a good job, but
went forward
and kicked a couple. He's on fire, Gears. Where will we see you today?
No, I think I'll do a little bit of everything again today. So I'm not sure I'll spend a lot of time down forward, maybe a little bit here and there, but I might be wandering around. The boys down back are doing a pretty good job, the young fellas. So, you know, as long as they continue to do that, I might not be needed down there and sort of float through a few different roles throughout the day.
Jaron, since you've returned from the initial shutdown, just the one loss has come to Collingwood, which was a pretty heavy one. But what is it about the regrouping that was required and then the reconvening of the club itself that allows you to sort of go into the remainder of the season with some great hope about what lies ahead?
Oh, yeah, I think obviously mate, that Collingwood game maybe came at the right time for us because, you know, we came back and had a pretty good performance against the Bulldogs and then sort of got taught a bit of a lesson, Collingwood, and probably became a little bit complacent. Something that we've sort of struggled with over the last couple of weeks has been our consistency. So maybe after that game, we're able to sit down and sort of take in check about where we really are and the fact that you can't be sort of 5 to 10% off at all throughout the week, throughout any week. So the last couple of weeks have been positive and we know we've got to come here and do that again today. So no excuses today. We come here expecting to perform like we had the last couple of weeks and hopefully we can do that.
Yep. And that role that the guys referred to a moment ago, where you kicked a couple of goals last week and had the role on Doherty, is that something, Jaron, you think that you and others at the club will play this year, a horses for courses type of match day responsibility?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I spoke about the sort of the three or four younger guys we've got down in the back line that are doing a really good job. And, you know, Rowan Marshall, obviously in the ruck. So, you know, whether or not Paddy combines with him week in, week out, we're not sure. So he's clearly hasn't played the last two or three weeks, but at some stage he'll come back in. So it's just more about the matchups and the teams we face and whether or not I need to play a role forward, mid or back at times, and whether Paddy needs to play a role through the midfield or forward. That'll be something that we sort of discuss week in, week out.
Yeah, Jaron, you mentioned Marshall there and he's going along beautifully at the moment. How is Paddy Ryder? I see he's named as an emergency again today. How has he handled the aspect that he hasn't been able to break in just yet?
No, he's been super, Paddy. I mean, his initial statements when he came to the club are still echoing in my ears. I was so sort of impressed with the way he spoke about Rowan and how he was here to help develop Rowan and not take the, you know, the ruck minutes away from him. And not being in the team, he certainly hasn't stopped helping him in that aspect. So he's been great. He's got his family up here, so he's enjoying his time up here with his family. And, you know, at some stage we'll need him again, whether that's next week or the week after, I'm not sure, but definitely require him at some stage.
Hey, we've seen a bit of Frio Saturday afternoons on Triple M, and they are not the worst. So you'll have your work cut out today. What do you do with Fife and Walters?
Yeah, I think, yeah, Fife, Walters, Mundy, those three particularly through the midfield are three players that we've identified that are keys to them, and they have been for a long time. So we're going to have to try and quell their influence on the game. We feel like we've got a couple of our guys in the middle there that are in pretty good form as well. Like you said, Rowan and Jack Steele are going pretty well. So hopefully we've got enough for them to worry about as well. And if we can quell their influence, then we think we can give ourselves a pretty good opportunity.
Just on Jack Steele, he was absolutely brilliant last week. Is he the guy that'll go straight to Fife and have him as his starting point?
I'm not sure he'll always go to him, but if he's there, he normally takes that big body midfield, and Fife is certainly one of them. So I'm sure they'll spend a lot of time on each other today. Whether or not it's a full lockdown role, I'm not sure. But as you know, Steele's ability to win the ball off those guys is pretty important for us. So if he can spend some time on him and win some footy off him, then that'll go a long way for us getting a result.
All right, Skipper, we'll let you go. Yep. Beautiful day out there on the Gold Coast. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
The Triple M Footy Saturday Rub for Hard Yakka, a history of hard.
From McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Damo, what else have we got to finish off the day in terms of news?
Just a couple of things, BT. North Melbourne's decision last week to play Ben Cunnington clearly didn't work. You could even tell watching the broadcast of that game that he wasn't right to play, and they chose to play him, and he's now going to be missing some weeks now as a result of the injury he's got, which is back into hamstring. It's just an unknown, Bill. Yeah. Isn't it? He'd missed the previous two, shouldn't have played last week, and it's looking likely now that they're talking about multiple weeks. So they've got Essendon tonight. You'd think he'd miss the next week as well. And it's when it is a nerve damage, as this one is, Bill, you just don't know. But
can't believe a medical officer would have let him go. So I don't think they made the final decision. I think it sounds like Ben Cunnington.
On him said, himself.
Or yeah. The coach. The coach too. Was he involved in it? A chat?
At the end of the day, when it comes to decisions like that, if you've been passed by the doctor, it does come back to the player.
Yeah.
And I know, and look, Rhys will take ownership and put his hand up. But at the end of the day, it's Cunnington that says, I'll be okay, I'm right to go. And you put a lot of faith.
At what stage do you get?
Coaches and also medicos put a lot of faith in that. And that's why certain players, Damo, they take it out of their hands because they've got a history of not being good judges of their own body and or can't play with injury.
So if that was a grand final, you would say, now, Ben, if this is the grand final and you're not right and you let the team down and we lose as a result of being one short, you know, and that's the way you got to look at a lot of decisions along the way, and I just don't think they thought through
Doctors get doctors and coaches. They know their player. Like I said, there are players that can play with serious injuries and perform at a really, really high level. And those that have a tickle on their elbow, they just go to water. They can't play. So that you take that out of their hands. But others that you've trusted before, BT, and have delivered for you, and I assume Cunnington has probably done that.
Yep.
He's the sort of player that would have played with injuries. So, they've said, you know what, we trust you again.
He looked gone
on this occasion. It didn't work. So
in the warm up,
stand up and cop it.
Yeah.
But I would put it back on him.
It's a fascinating conversation, BT, and the connection that you just suggested, really, the grand final lens.
They've got better at that, haven't
they? They've got better, but some of the famous examples are of players who probably shouldn't have played, aren't they? I mean, Stevie Johnson in 07 with his knee, the issue with Nigel Lappin in 03 with his ribs. Even Anthony Stevenstark in 99 went into the game with a broken foot, basically, didn't he? And ended up building his shoulder as well in the same game. Yep. But he was playing well to half time of that game.
Oh, that's right. And he's a guy that could play with injury. Yeah. So, and that's why you put trust. Corey McKernan was the same. Going into grand finals, had some really serious stuff, but invariably performed at a really, really high level.
Yeah. BT, Tommy Rockliffe out of the Port Adelaide team this week. I thought he was half going okay, but he's been taken out of this game against the Giants to be played tomorrow at Metricon Stadium.
And I noticed Ken Hinckley, when he spoke about that, said it was all about he laid the whole thing on basically the midfield. He's the guy that gets in and gets it out, and that wasn't happening. Mm. And he said that we've told him, we've shown him, and Rockliffe doesn't have an issue with it. I wonder whether he does have an issue with it.
Well, he's stoppage player, he said, and he's got to do more there.
Yeah.
But you're right. We know Tommy pretty well. He wouldn't have been happy with that.
Wouldn't have thought so. And one of the ins, though, for Port Adelaide, a crucial player to what they're about, Ryan Burton, comes back in after their bad loss last week to the Brisbane Lions. And we were just talking before about the Tigers. At this stage, Tom Lynch, and I expect him to play. He's been named. He got through a training session, BT, with
a broken
hand. Yeah, broken hand, actually. Yeah, I believe a plate of some form has been put into it.
I'm glad you said that, because the padding was put on the hand. It was never put on a finger, and it's been referred to as a finger all week, and it always looked like the back of the hand.
Yeah, I believe it was a hand, and again, I don't know how big the apparatus was put into the hand, but that was done Monday. He flew to the hub of the Tigers team that very night and trained yesterday, and provided he's got through it, will make a...
Surely he doesn't play duck, does he? Broken hand?
Well, it's. I think the marking of the footy and taking control of the footy will be okay, because that's the front of the hand. It's when if he gets a really hard...
What does Rampy do, do you reckon?
Well, exactly. You'd be...
Is it fair game?
Most certainly.
Oh, cool. Mate, if he's going for a mark, it's fair,
game.
You're running out with a broken hand.
Yeah. No, it is fair game.
Yeah, bloody hell.
He will Stevie Johnson, Stevie Baker.
Well, that was a bit different.
That's different. That's that's not in play. Yeah, that's behind play, contest, banging. But in the contest, if you're going for a mark, you've got a sore hand, you've got to be expected. Say if you've got a sore shoulder, you've got to expect contact.
All right, Damo, that just about do you?
Done. Connor McKenna, good to see him back too.
I give a little cheerio and well done to Sam Simpson the other night for the Cats?
He was good.
Our boy Nara, who's been on the show here, Shawnee, I played with, of course. His boy was great. 700 days, 2 years before since he'd played. He'd been out. He won the VFL Best and Fairest of the Cats, and well done to little Sammy. He was fantastic.
He was really good.
Mm. He was excellent, wasn't he? Mm. Dangerfield, he was pretty good too, Bill.
Did you see at the end there where he got the ball at one stage and rolled it down his arm?
Yeah.
And I just don't know how you can do that. But guess what? He spent more time on the ground. We spoke about this before. He was on for a long time because Mitch Duncan and Sparkle Narkle are off very early. So a lot of game time. Simpson got a chance because he went into the middle.
Any news on those two, by the way, Bill?
They'll miss. They'll fly to Perth today, all the boys, all the squad. The Geelong squad flies to Perth. They're staying at Crown Promenade. They're in their rooms for 2 weeks. But you'd think those two would miss, which gives a chance to Charlie Constable, who we haven't seen, and also Jordan Clark still hasn't played for the Cats. So he might play this week.
So getting back to the point that we were talking about earlier with coaches saying they want more on the interchange, Danger, because of a couple of injuries, stayed on longer.
That's right.
They've got more on the bench. Danger...
so comes off.
He comes off.
Yeah.
So don't tell us that the superstars will get more game time.
Well, even Ablett,
it'll be the opposite.
We need to bring back a little bit of endurance into our game.
Well, they're only 16-minute quarters, and even Ablett stayed on the ground longer, I reckon, because he had to.
Mm. Yep, so that's a good thing for the game, surely, and I agree entirely. Ducky would have been taken off otherwise, no doubt about that. Ash Chua is going to join us in just a moment. The teams are getting out on the track as we speak. Fremantle already out there. The Saints arriving on Metricon Stadium right now as well. By the way, the umpires today, Nick Foot, Justin Power, and Dean Margetts.
I'm looking forward to this one, BT.
Yep.
I think.
What are you looking forward to, the Saints?
The Saints. And like we've already mentioned, and we spoke to Justin before, the coach of Freo, just about how they've been going. They've been playing solid footy. Now, they've been beaten in a few close games. We know they won last week for the first win for the season, which is great for them. They've got some superstars. Best form of defense is offense.